Welcome to PJEFC's Pulpit Ministry, a ministry that is committed to the preaching of the Word to transform life.
Good morning, everyone. I used to be known as Alan and Jean's son. After a while, I used to be known as Tulin and Guan's brother. After a while, I used to be known as Alina, Kyron, Erin's father. I actually have a name, and the name is Tik Lim. I do appreciate our senior pastor has said, remove your mask while entering the church.
This type of wardrobe malfunction is still okay for me. Okay, it's okay, eh? Yeah, so I was just about to say that I really do appreciate the multiple people who have come up to me and say, hey, speaking, we'll pray for you. Hey, don't be nervous. Don't worry. Yeah, so the appreciation goes to, of course, my family members, yeah, the diaconate team, the board, the prayer meeting family, church leaders near and far. Thank you. And of course, our dear Pastor Melissa, who helped me chisel my speech, because the first draft I gave to her, she was like, what is this? You know? So she's very graceful and very patient. So after 3 revisions, this is it lah, inikali lah. Okay? But can I just tell all of you, for future would-be speakers, especially those of us who like to work just in time, so those who are organized, you hear the word last minute, but no, people like us, we are just in time. For people like us who are just in time, actually, the more you say, hey, we're going to pray for you, don't worry, we actually worry more. So you just let us be, yeah, let us sit by ourselves, it will come out okay, right? So anyway, to those who prayed, say seni. Now, can I invite the ladies first, right? Then, of course, the men, to just read aloud God's word from the book of Matthew, chapter 22, verse 37. I'd like to invite the ladies first. Wherever you are, you know, at 1, 2, 3, please just read this beautiful word aloud. 1, 2, 3. Thank you. And the men, the strong men in the house. Can we read Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 aloud? 1, 2, 3. Amen. Thank you. Thank you for such participation from God's people. The topic given to me this morning, can I keep in view God for later? It's not a rhetorical question. I mean, those of us who worship God and have been in church for a long time obviously know the answer for that. But when the topic was given, I felt that it would be a disservice, especially to those who are new in the faith or those who are dialing in for today. Dialing in, to those who are joining in, right? It shows my age, yeah. We used to dial. That I look at this not from a rhetorical viewpoint. And actually, as I was preparing this, I saw that some merits. And, you know, up to this morning, my dear wife, who is always the best person with a needle to poke me and my ego, says, hey, you actually do that occasionally, you know, keep in view God for later. So if we look at the Ten Commandments, it looks so clearly, right, that at one read, there's a lot of thou shalls, thou shall nots. And unbelievers always may have this perception that our Lord, our God, Jesus is a killjoy. I mean, we are here to enjoy. God will save us and give us a ticket to heaven. So let's just do what we need to do. And then towards the end, just before the last breath, right, you're having a heart attack, say, Jesus, I believe you. Pop. Same. Why not we do that, right? So to begin with, I would like to just share this with you. Yeah, it's also a nice screensaver. This is me, 1 year after I was converted. I was Form 1 then, and to those who are young enough, this was in 1989. Okay? And those whom I've identified in red, you probably would see them in this church still. You just need to stretch the picture a little bit more to identify us. Okay? If you look towards the center, you will see Debbie. Right, Debbie, I intentionally did not circle her because just like a 3D puzzle, right, the longer you stare into this, you see something. So if you stare and you see an answer to today's question, you get a free lunch on me. okay? Now, I also need to also give credit where it's due. If you look at the upper left-hand side, we have got Auntie Kim, our advisor, you know, who always used to tell us to have good, clean fun. And make me wonder, you know, what would be the opposite of that, right? But that's what I remember about you, Auntie Kim. You always, you know, molded us to make sure we have good, clean fun as teenagers. And on the lower right-hand side, we've got our Eddie Hua. I don't know, Eddie, if you're here today. Yeah. Anyway, thank you. Thank you for your many, many years, you know, guiding us. And we've got those of us who are long enough in this church will remember our Reverend CEO and Auntie Swangat. They played a pivotal role. Because it's not just at one, two times, right? They spent multiple times trying to share God's love for us as teenagers. So thank you. I'll be remiss, you know, to also say that where I am today is just by accident, because I remember Sunday school teachers like my Auntie Siu Ling, like Auntie Milian, you know, and even Uncle Daniel, who led me to accept Jesus. So I accepted Jesus 3 times. Yeah, because you respect them, right? And when your heart is okay, they say, you want to accept Jesus? Yeah, oh, yeah. So I distinctly remember 3 times. Yeah. I appreciate this because growing up in answering this question, besides referring to God's word, I also look at my lens, you know, and my lens is based on my observation of my family, my parents. My lens also it's also a result of seeing church leaders, my friends who have grown up with me all these years, to answer, can we really keep in view God for later? Very, very also thankful for my maternal Auntie Lai Kun, who is now with the Lord, and our Uncle Ki Chang. Some of you might remember these names, but to us in our family, they have left an indelible mark. Because as a young boy, right, wearing, you know, ultra high shorts, you know, just walking around, I remember they were very, very intentional in reaching out to my family, especially when my father was a very staunch Buddhist. They kept at it, but they were respectful, and I remember they played a hand in ushering us to PGFC. And I see in their life, you know, they've been very consistent, they've been very constant. So it's not just all talk, you know, when you look at leaders around us. On the lower left, to those of us who are younger here, this was the world before the internet. This is what we used to do. We go on a bicycle, you know, and without internet now, we just cycle. That was entertainment enough for us. Okay, so I know there's some of you saying, like, duh. So, but it was really a time of our lives. And these are my close mates. I've got Ting Sen at the center, Gary at the other side. Yeah. Don't stare too much at the ties, right? Because that was the trend then, okay? Yeah, that was the trend then. Okay? But, you know, when I reflect back, I remember how passionate we were because I was a new believer then. Every Sunday, or almost every Sunday, we were writing down sermon notes, and we'll call each other up to say, hey, what did the speaker say? Oh, they said this, they said that. We were so passionate about it. We took it upon ourselves when the church had Easter play, right? We would take stacks of tracts, we'll go around, you know, giving to houses. And we distinctly remember being very puzzled because in the old atria, we were so proud we would paste the announcement right at the at atria's main entrance. And each time we come back, we said, someone's taking it out. Say, who is this person, you know? So we cycled there very often. Of course, it was out of the radius that was allowed to, right? But who cares, right? We cycled. So we did this a few times until one day we actually saw, lo and behold, our church pastor. He was the one who actually removed the tracks. And I mean, we realized then it was a whole sentiment of, you know, reaching out to certain people. But that was the passion that we have. And I remember in school, I was so fervent, I actually used to share verses to my classmate who's a Jehovah Witness. So one week, I'll share one verse with him. Next week, he's going to debate. At a certain point, you know, wanted to even fight over, you know, what is real. My life, if I look at it, I've been so blessed, especially not just in this family of ours, but also in this family called PGFC. I thank the Sunday school teachers, the youth advisors, those who were with us for young adults. I've been blessed because ever since 12, 13 years old, I've been with this church. Why? If you talk about how blessed, I even witnessed a miracle of someone coming from death. And I think it was the year 1994. You know, my first year in college, not very often, your father is sick, unable to move. And despite multiple calls, the time no ways, right? Multiple calls to SGMC, they don't come for 1 hour, you know, and you see your strong father, you know, who's just lying on bed and then looking at you eyeball to eyeball, saying that if anything happens to me, take care of the family. You know, and that was a sledgehammer experience. And we prayed so fervently together with my grandmother, who has, of course, joined the Lord then. And lo and behold, I witnessed a miracle. You know, my father, before you know it, he could get up by himself. By the time the ambulance came, just like the Tamil movies, you know, they come and all that, he was like walking down by himself. And I remember visiting him in a hospital the next day, and he was discharged. So I thank God. I, of course, have also prayed for a lot of relatives, you know, who somehow didn't have the same outcome, right? But I thank God that I witnessed this, and it's something very dear and near to us as a family. So you would think that, wow, this guy, you know, grew up in PJFC, blessed with so many former leaders, his life would be, wow. So I invite you to my life. So my dear family members, they were like, Even my cats, my four cats, now we've got four, ma'am. Now I disclose to you. Yeah, they have suffered when rage got the better of me. As a believer, as someone who grew up in the church. So imagine the shock on one lady's face when I was made deacon. I think it was the first one, second year. This lady was, oh, can I speak to you, deacon? I'm like, oh, okay. Say that I've got this young person, you know, he's got a problem with his temper. You know, I'd like for you to speak and counsel him. And then I had to tell this person, I am actually struggling this area also. And she was so taken aback, right? But that is what I am. My dear family here, you know, and it's a very real thing, what I've gone through. And I'm here to tell you, I've even riled up my entire family, you know. I said it's about being respectful to God, but the few times, thankfully not too many times, but they were specific instances. Because in the name of punctuality, right, I get so upset when I say that we got to leave. I wanted to be like a commando, right? Leave this time means leave. But, you know, one thing after another and all that. So I actually riled up the entire family. I was in a rage, driving from my house to church, you know, just to make it to be seated there. I'm telling myself, I'm doing for God, but I'm probably upsetting my family the entire time. And it probably is a classic display for my children to be even more distant with my God. So my dear wife and wives, the wise wives will always do this one. When things simmer down, or then they take the sledgehammer and slowly whack, you know. So after that, Karen told me that, you know, intention is good, delivery fail. And I thought to myself, although the intention is good, right? I want the family to be punctual. But isn't there a better way? And my goodness, come take limb, you come to church to worship, but you endanger the lives of not just your family members, but other road users. So that doesn't mean that we are now okay with being late. And I'm not here to tell you that we should be late. But I'm here to tell you that we must be so careful. Even though growing up in church, even though sometimes you think you're doing the right thing, you know, we must always have God's view in mind. I don't think God would have been so pleased at the way I rile up my family then. So thankfully now, they are more punctual, right? Thankfully, the road is safer now on Sunday mornings. But I'm just here to tell you, yeah, I'm very much still work in progress. Now, let's also look at the Bible for people who are work in progress. So I didn't draw this, okay? Leon did a superb job, right? But he didn't draw this too, yeah? This is actually a rendition of The Last Supper by Leonardo da Vinci. And in the summary, courtesy of visualartscog.com, if you look at Judas is the guy portrayed here, right? This, by the way, is John. Actually, I finally found out. I always thought, how come there was a lady there? But yeah, this is John. So in Leonardo da Vinci's portrayal, and by the way, this sketch and drawing of his took 3 years, yeah? He was so accurate by even painting Judas as the one grasping a small bag, denoting the 30 bags of the 30 pieces of silver paid to betray Jesus. There's also a knocked salt pot, you know, trying to also exemplify the way he would have betrayed God. And his head, if you notice, you know, what a great artist, right? Is at the lowest position of all the disciples, and he's somehow in a shadowy area. But enough about artist impression, right? Because we also want to look to God's word. And what is it that we know about Judas and Peter from God's word? We know that both were disciples, chosen disciples of our Lord. We know that Judas was put in a position of trust because he was the treasurer. Scripture also tells us that Judas unfortunately failed to understand who Jesus was, despite intimate years that he spent observing this man of God, observing God in action, right, through the multiple miracles. In John chapter 12, verse 4 to 6, it says, Judas struggled greatly with money. You remember? When Mary Magdalene, out of a repentant heart, bought the most precious oil for the Lord, he was very quick to suggest that that is such a waste, it should have been sold. And scripture records that the Lord knew the reason why he wanted to be sold is so that he can access it. But ever thought that before, with a guy who's so filled by greed, I mean, if you're so into money, right, why do you betray the Lord for only 30 pieces of silver? You could have bargained and asked for more. So we know, or at least now we know, thanks to scholars, that 30 pieces of silver was the price that you had to pay if you accidentally, you know, your bull accidentally gore a slave to death. You go to that slave's master, here's 30 pieces of silver, bro, see you tomorrow. It was the price you would pay for a servant. And even in the Last Supper, scripture records, Judas addressed Jesus as Rabbi, not Lord, which shows the kind of disdain, you know, and disconnected feeling he would have had of God's one and only Son, to refer to him as holy man, religious teacher. We can deduce definitely there were misexpectations, right, from his master. And as I prepared, I asked myself, have there been life moments in my life when God didn't live up to my expectations? Of course. Whenever I missed a key sale, whenever I was in an unfortunate end of a restructuring, right? Or when a loved one, despite multiple prayer, you know, gets worse and worse, you're asking God, what is this? So I've learned in my 3 decades experience as a believer that it's perfectly okay to share our griefs to God, to complain to God. In fact, he is a God who wants us to be real. But please know that in our expression, we should never reach a point where our heart is hardened, like Judas, when there's no point in turning back. Our God must stay as Lord and not just as a religious holy man. There is no doubt that Jesus walked this earth. Even people from other faiths believe in him. But to those of you listening for the first time, whether He is the Lord of your life. That is something that only you can come to conviction with the Holy Spirit. We talk about Judas. Now, the second candidate for today would be Peter. So, Peter. Peter kept losing his temper, okay? And Peter denied Jesus not once, not twice, but three times, okay? And Peter was quite full of himself, right? Matthew records Peter's exclamation, right? In fact, he was very bold to say that even if all fall away, Yesu, don't worry. Jesus, don't worry. I'll be there. I won't. And when our Lord, you know, in His gentle way said, actually, Peter, tonight itself, before the rooster crows, you will deny me, right? And deny me how many times? Three times, right? The Lord is that specific. And then our Peter comes and said, no, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. So Peter is probably the eternal salesperson, you know? Yeah, but a good salesperson always follow through, okay? Yeah. But I, in reading this again, I also say that, hey, I got to cut Peter some slack. Because he did rise to the occasion somewhat. Do you remember when 600 Roman soldiers, fully armed Roman soldiers came to arrest? Bold Peter actually drew a sword and cut off, you know, one of the servant's ear in front of 600 people. So he did try. But at the moment of pressure, he fell. And he fell greatly. So we know in this case, the Apostle Peter struggled with pride. Because even after many close encounters with God, didn't Apostle Paul have to admonish him when he was when it was clear that I don't associate with Gentiles? I can't. Right? Galatians chapter 2, verse 11 to 13 says, Paul, you know, admonish him and say, what you're doing is not right, it's not scriptural. And we look at these two candidates, you would see that both were in the inner circle of the Lord Himself. Both spend time with our Lord. And I've spoken to friends, you know, they say that I just need to feel God once, I need to see a miracle once, I will believe. But my friends, scripture records that even people who spend life with Him, one can turn okay, one can turn the other way too. So be careful, yeah, with such requests that I just need to see to believe. On the Passover nights, they both chose to betray Jesus. What is the main difference? You could see one saw Jesus Christ as his Savior. The other saw him as a holy man, a good religious teacher. One died without hope and faith. God didn't condemn him for that. He chose to die without hope and faith. Both repented, both betrayed, but only one repented. You remember the restoration, the beautiful restoration that our Lord did? And that's the beautiful thing about our Lord, right? He's not a God who's waiting to say, I'm going to do wrong, right? I'm going to do wrong, right? I'm going to whack. I mean, the Lord knew that Peter would betray him and betray him so bad, and yet he gently affirms. So our God is a God of many, many chances. People often see us from the outside, isn't it? And I was telling my cell group yesterday, what an irony, because yours truly here, I don't like being late. I think you've deduced that by now, right? And the thing here, I'm gonna get nagging from my parents, but okay, you know. So, bosses visited Malaysia recently, right? And I'm never late one. In fact, I don't need to be punctual, okay? But I will make sure I'm never late. It's just a habit. But of all days, you know, of all days, the traffic jam is such, right? And my dear wife, she was pacifying me as I prayed with her. The traffic jam in Subang somehow cleared. So I was just, you know, 901. Right? But see, it wasn't so cool. So the irony was like, hey, you can be punctual all the time, and that one time the boss sees, is like, yeah. So, but I like the the scriptural part that God sees us through in and throughout. There's no amount of fluff that we can put into God because He knows our heart through in and throughout. Yeah. So, please know, if you're falling in an area, that's what the church is for. Yeah. And the last I checked, the Bible refers to our life, our life in Christ as a battle. And in battles, you win. But in battles, there are times that you will lose. So it is true. Whenever you and I sin, we go to God, we repent, God will forgive us. Amen. Thank God, right? We repent. But especially when you and I are struggling in an area and we seem to fall in an area over and over time again, that's about time where we seek counsel. Seek counsel from God's people in order for restoration and redemption to happen in spirit, body, and mind. So, side promo, you know, for Johnny is the men's encounter, women's encounter, they are all good programs. But please do not have the notion that you go for this, bah, you're squeaky clean and life will be hunky-dory. In fact, what I appreciate about our church is we have never gone to the area of prosperity gospel. We never say that when you believe in God, wow, Sing Li will be straight smooth. Health, no problem. Those who are losing hair, you somehow your hair will grow out from everywhere. We have never made such claims, okay? And the Bible speaks clearly that our God will never leave nor forsake. That is a promise. And we know that life will throw as many curveballs at us. So coming to an earlier point, right, some people say, oh, you know, can I just accept God towards the end? You can, it's your choice. And of course, it is God who will decide, right, towards the end. But you end up missing so many wonderful adventures with God. I'd like to also share with you my 3 a.m. friends. Okay? No, Peter's not my 3 a.m. friend. Yeah, these are my 3 a.m. friends. Okay? Now, 3 a.m. friends means that if you have an emergency, right, you call these people, they should come and help you. I'm not suggesting that you go and call your friend at 3 in the morning and say, are you my 3 a.m. friend? Okay, that's one sure way to lose if you've got nothing serious to talk about. But these are, and of course, to those whose face are not there, give me grace. There's only so much space I can put in. But these are just samples of people who have walked with me, with Karen, in our challenge, in my challenge with relationships, in my challenge with money, in my challenge with sex, in my challenge with my career. These are important people. And I think, and I know, the reason why the church is trying to employ 3-2-1 mentoring, trying to encourage everyone to be in cell group, is for this very same reason. I mean, consider it such a waste if you and I come to church week in, week out, we sit at a normal place, we know who, you know, your kid's so big already. Yeah, I'm really so fat already. Yeah, I mean, these are good pleasantries. But if all there is, I think we're missing out. Because last I checked, every one of us goes through life's challenges. Yes, the songs that Pastor Melissa chose, they were very victorious in lyrics and meaning. But we all go through life's challenges. My encouragement is to always see our Lord God beyond just that religious holy man. See him as the Lord God who wants to be personal with you, right? And especially in an area where you and I are struggling repeatedly, it's high time that we trust people to walk alongside with us. So yeah, we do drink responsibly, if you look at the pictures there, but that's another topic altogether, another time, okay? Yeah, if I were to look at the notion, right, I say that let's not look at it from a rhetorical point. If you were to keep in view God, you know, I find that you can do it in only 3 levels, having observed this for myself in the last 3 decades. The first one is, you know, everyone who've heard about Jesus, we say, yeah, he's a good man. But we will then say, I'll think about it lah. You know, he as a holy man, agree. But to be Lord of my life, I'll think about it. I'm here to tell you, as successful as any of us here are in business, relationship, personal and fitness, there will come a time when you realize there's something more, that there's something bigger, that help is needed. Think about this. I mean, we will respect your decision here in church, right? We don't go around for, I mean, we don't coerce. But if you notice, those who join us for Alpha, we engage them in conversation. But we want you to realize God, the Son, chose 12 men who went all over sharing His love for Him, right? God promised they will never leave nor forsake us. But these apostles, they all had their respective challenges. Yeah, it wasn't smooth sailing all the way. And yet, that is the good news, the great news. Yeah, knowing that the Holy Spirit works in our lives. So if you feel some kind of tugging right now, yeah, that's not your breakfast in question. That is the Holy Spirit telling you there is more to life. There is more to Jesus than being just a holy man. You feel that tugging, do not delay that tugging. Speak to that friend who's brought you here today. Speak to the pastor, speak to the leaders. Because the Holy Spirit is gentle, right? But our Lord is also a very gentle God. He will never force His way on us. But the moment you're ready to engage, He'll be ready to receive. Now, the other way that I've seen people keeping God in view is they said, oh, I'm a believer. I will make sure every year I will come to church for Easter, come to church for Christmas. Okay, must check attendance. Hello, Big G, I'm here. They will say that, but they are saying that, yeah, even in forms, I'll probably say I'm a Christian. But in my day-to-day, right, especially at work, at home, life is very complicated. So I will do what I need to do, and it's a bit like insurance. I mean, they liken it to insurance, right? I want to make sure that I accept God. In case anything happens, I will turn up to heaven. Because quite a no-brainer, right? Jesus promises eternity with Him. So opposite of heaven is this place. So I'm going to buy this ticket, but I will just live my life first so that, like the analogy just now, right? I've spoken to friends. Oh, towards the end, just as the last breath, Jesus, I accept you, pop. Then you end up in paradise. Yeah. But the danger I find with such an approach is the heart can be hardened without us knowing it. Remember what Scripture told us about Judas and Peter? So if these people who spent time eating, living, witnessing miracles with their own eyes, in fact, I think they even participated in miracles themselves, if someone like Judas, who at one point think that this is the man I will follow, cannot just treat him like a religious man, but in his heart, he wanted this man to be gone. If that can happen to someone like Judas, it can very well happen to you and I if we want to take this insurance approach. So please know, our God is not a killjoy. I've begun to realize that why He gives us rule and law is so that we live out our lives in the best possible way. I also need to tell you, God's community must come into perspective. It must come into perspective. Because I was about to make the analogy about eternity, right? So to those of you who remember, eternity to me as a young boy was when I followed my mom for shopping at Grob 6 store. I don't know, the time just went on and on and on and on. I don't know what happens, right? So what was scary is when I might have misbehaved, because when my parents brought me to Singapore, instead of bringing me to shopping center, they brought me to Haw Par Villa on the lower left. And it was, please don't send your kids to Haw Par Villa, okay? Yeah, I had nightmares because you see depiction about hell. It was terrible, terrible. That's all I remembered, you know? And I think I behaved for a while after that. Then, of course, I'm back to my mischief. But I'm here to tell you that heaven and hell, to those who they said, I'm scientific, I use empirical studies and all that. Hey, heaven and hell is very, very, very real. Because the Christians don't just say that. Other faiths talk about this space. So you want to be able to live your life in such a way that when you and I breathe our last, we know, yes, God, we abide in you. Yeah. So I caution on taking that approach where I check in with God, you know, I live my own life, and then after that, I'll just check in with him towards the end, because the heart can be hardened. The third group of people that I've seen in my own eyes, you know, who keep God in view, are those who actually, they start out well, they start out strong. But life as we know it, threw curveballs at them, and through grave disappointment, they said, I've had enough. Especially with the church, it's politics, it's, you know, people are not there. So, you know what, I don't need the church, it's just me and God. I would just go on God. God knows. I mean, it's true. God knows what I do. Yeah, it's just me and God. Well, I agree with you. I mean, everywhere you go, so long there's people, there will be politics, right? Is it good politics or bad politics? And yeah, at times we do argue, right, over theological differences or, you know, over some things. But my viewpoint is life's got to be real. Can you imagine, to those of us who are married, if all we know about our spouse is, hello, had your meal, going to work, bye-bye. You know, you laugh at about it because that should not happen, right? But if we in this congregation, over years and decades, all we do is we sit in an area and we're like, oh, how are things? Traffic was bad, huh? Yeah. How are things, all right? If all there is, I think the question to be asked is, how authentic can we be? And of course, I've spoken to people who say that, oh, the church is cold, I don't feel so and so is warm. Well, guess what? I think the word initiate starts with I, right? I, yeah. But I come back to this point to tell you that I'm not trivializing whatever life challenge that you would have if you fall under this category, because it must be something so bad, so disappointing, right? I mean, when you pray so hard for a loved one, and not just the loved one doesn't get better, gets worse. So it's very natural. You'd feel very upset, very disappointed. You know, God, how can this happen? How can this not happen? But just be very careful. If you do not have a community to support you through such a time, you would fall into a bucket where I'll just keep God in view. Okay, God, this, I'll sort it out. And the danger is, just like a heart doesn't turn hardened overnight, right? Over time, it will reach a level where you just treat this as, yeah, futile. So, my clear assessment is, we should not keep God in view. We should not keep God in, K-I-V, yeah, keep in view, yeah. I know Melissa is praying a lot right now for me, yeah. We should embrace a new approach to our life, which is to keep God in view. Keep God in view at all times. Okay? Earlier on, when I got the man and woman to read this verse, you can see the Lord amplifies the word all multiple times. And all, not some. All, not when you feel like it. So if we were to say that, okay, I mean, we've established a point, right? Jesus is a good and great man, but beyond that, right, those of us who believe in him as a Lord and God, he is the one and only Lord God, and we should stick close to him irrespective of whatever life curveballs that comes. We also establish the fact that to grow, we need to be real, right? To share our struggles with trusted people so that we can grow on. So I would like to bring you all back to this point to say that if God wanted this for us, right, and his viewpoint is he's a tyrant, I think he would make you and I robots with no will whatsoever. We wake up, we just do whatever he needs us to do. But that is not our God. He is a God of love. He is a God who's delighted when we respond at our own pace. You know, don't have to be forced. If God was merely suggesting, then you and I would know, like, it would be called the 10 suggestions, not the 10 commandments. Yeah, and even here when Jesus replied, you know, to the Pharisee, right, to love the Lord your God with all, yeah, with all your heart, your mind, your soul, is to say that it's not just a suggestion, it's what is good for you, my son, my daughter. So, if you eliminate all other assumptions over here, the only natural part is, if he's going to be Lord, he's got to be Lord over all. Not just Lord over on a Sunday, not over Lord when we need a help, you know, when we're in trouble. He must be the Lord when you and I struggle over trials, over temptations. He must be the Lord when we fall down. We will fall down. We are going to fall down. And we need God, but we also need this community when we fall down. That's why it is so, so, so vital and important that we have God's view at all times. I hope by now you know that the God that we serve is not a killjoy. When you and I stay aligned with Him, we reap the most with Him through life's challenges. I like what Lai Yuan mentioned last week when he said that, you know, when we put God first, all other things will come into place. Having lived through some of my own life choices and consequences, and there were times when I just kept God, you know, KIV, I can affirm this is true. So here's the shocking thing, right? A kid who grows up in Sunday school, who attends church every Sunday, at the facade, quite okay, but inside, I can make whatever life decisions I want. So I know of very constant parents who say that, oh, my child needs to attend church, needs to attend youth, which is important, but as always, the heart is very, 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 very important. Yeah. So no discredit to the leaders of our past, because these are things which I willfully did, right? I could have done this, I could have done that, I chose this decision. Yeah. And of course, there are consequences, but what I've also learned is when I have God's view, I realize I do not stand condemned. I realize that I can pick myself, there's hope, and I realize that I can have a community to journey with me as I overcome those challenges. May we be like Peter. Both of them betrayed the Lord, right? And it's quite a bad case of betrayal. But Peter, at all times, saw Jesus as Lord. We come to God, come to Jesus for faith, for hope, for repentance, and life forevermore here in heaven. The song that I've asked the worship team to sing today is a very meaningful song to me. You know, my wife doesn't like it when I say this again, and I'm going to get another one from my parents after this. But I already chosen. I say that, of course, many years from now, at my funeral, I like this song. You know, then my wife, choy. But I say that it's very meaningful. The words in the song are so meaningful. It speaks about a God of love, a God of many chances, many, many chances. It speaks about a God, our Father God, who knows us more than anyone, who knows us in our heart, who knows us inside out, and a God who doesn't care too much about what has transpired in the past. God will restore us. God will purify. God will empower our lives so that we can be enriched in Him. Nothing is impossible for God. So long as we surrender our all, we submit our plans, and we stay faithful with Him right till the end. So my dearly extended PJFC family and those joining us online, God should be in view at all times. And very importantly, life is a journey. So may you and I have this mindset, but may we also have the heart set to be vulnerable and speak to trusted people within this space, within your CG, speak to the leaders, right? And speak to them as we struggle out of our trials and temptations. He will see us right to the end. Yeah. Xie xie ni.
You have been listening to a sermon from PJEFC. We hope that you have been blessed by the message. For more sermons, please go to www.pjefc.org/sermons. Love God, love people, and make disciples.